The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It is me, Matt Slick. I hope you're having a good time and a good day. It's a nice Friday. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Real easy to do, and that's what you got to do if you want to give me a call. All right. So we often do hate mail on Fridays, so maybe we'll say that a little bit here. We got a caller coming in. And tonight, I have an interesting opportunity. So there's an Airbnb next door to me, and so when our cat was missing, I went over next door. Hey, have you seen a cat in your backyard? You know, and we got talking, and the guy's a oneness pastor, United Pentecostal Church pastor. He says, really? So we got talking, and he's told me that at a certain church in a next door city, there's going to be a certain gentleman, David Bernard, who is a top oneness guy in the country. And I want to go tonight. And I want to discuss with him the opportunity to have a debate and say, hey, I'm just politely challenging you to a debate on oneness versus the Trinity. And we're going to see if I can get there in time. It should be. He says it's in the evening, Thursday evenings, Friday evenings. So after the radio show, I may go down and spend some time down there looking. And I'm trying to figure things out, and we'll see what happens with that. That, to me, is exciting. See, that's exciting, okay? I like that kind of stuff. And I know, I got issues. But that's what my wife says anyway. But I go, oh, that's okay, you know. So, there you go. You can pray for me about that if you want. All right. So, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276, and you can zip me a call. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Hey, Alberto, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. I've got a question.
Okay.
Why doesn't the Pope Francis decree that every Roman Catholic Church member evangelizes Greece with the gospel, since their religion is based on works anyway? Why doesn't he do that?
Because he's not a Christian. And they're not, the goal is not to preach the gospel. No, not at all. The goal with them is the promotion of the true church, the Catholic Church. And if they start having people just preach the gospel, people might start getting saved and not necessarily have to go to the Roman Catholic Church. So that's what I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another question, too. Since the Pope was to be a holy, righteous man, why doesn't he pick up the homeless and let them sleep in silky sheep beds and bed and breakfast like he does?
Mm. Hey, that'd be nice. Good question. Yep. And here's another thing. If the papacy is true, and if the Catholics have all this authority to be able to distribute the graces earned by Mary and the saints and Jesus and the treasury of merit that's in heaven, why don't they just start administering it to everybody? Why don't they just say, hey, you know, it's for everybody? Why don't they just, instead of requiring having to go to your church and their church and go through sacraments to get it, why don't they just administer it? You know, it's just a basic question. Oh, that's how things are set up. No, it doesn't have to be set up that way. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Anyway, one of the questions. Okay.
Another one more thing.
Sure.
How come when the preachers have big houses and stuff, the worldly people who are lost, they criticize them for that? But yet the Catholic Church living in big, fancy places, and the world people, they don't criticize them to say what they do to preachers. Why is that? Even Christians don't criticize them for that. Yeah, Christians criticize a minister having a nice home, big home with nice cars and airplanes, but they don't criticize him. But they don't criticize the Catholic Church, though.
Well, they do.
Why is that? They do.
You know, many people have. I do. I remember seeing a picture of either in Eastern Orthodoxy or it was Roman Catholicism, either one recently, where the pomp, the money that's there, all the grand attire and the golden chairs and all this stuff that they sit in. Oh my goodness. Oh man. You know, it just, the thought, it's just, if I was a preacher at a church, a guest preacher, and they said, "Matt, we have a golden chair. It's actually gold plated. We want you to sit in it." I'd say, "I'm not sitting in that." I said, "I'm not going to sit there. Yeah, you give me a stool or something down with the congregation, but I'm not going to be sitting up there with some golden thing. No, no, no. I'm preaching the gospel, and that's it." I just don't understand that kind of thing, how people can just claim that for themselves. I just don't get it. But hey, when your churchianity is more important than Christianity, then that I guess that makes sense to people. Okay. That's where it is, buddy.
Look, I understand all that. But still, I understand why keep so many people so biblically illiterate. They got the Bible, and they still follow this false religion.
Well, because they're biblically illiterate.
Why they do it?
Because they're biblically illiterate. One of the things I've noticed is when I teach people, I teach them theology. Not that you have to have a degree and big thick glasses and every sermon's about theology, but when I do teach theology and I insert it into Bible studies, into preaching, people unanimously all over the place, they say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." They don't hear this kind of stuff. They want to hear this kind of stuff. In fact, last night at the Bible study I taught, we talked about that very thing a little bit, and I said, "You don't hear this kind of stuff anywhere, do you?" And they go, "Nope." And I'm not boasting, I'm better than anybody else, because there's a lot of good pastors out there. But I'm just saying, you know, it's just a famine. The Christian church is dumbed down. They don't teach advanced theology. They don't teach Trinitarianism, hypostatic union, communicatio, idiomatum, justification, imputation, propitiation, how they relate. They need to be taught. They need to be repeatedly taught all over the place for the truth of God's word. But at any rate, you know, no, they don't.
Yeah, I attended I attend a Methodist church, and at one time I went to the social hall, and I asked all these church members who have been there 30, 40, 50 years, probably way more than me. I'm just a visitor, and they're 50, 60, 70 years old, and I asked them how to get to heaven. None of them could give me an answer, correct answer, none. Only one man gave me the correct answer. Yeah. They're all saying, "I hope so. I hope I get there. I hope when I get there, then I'll know. You know, I don't know." They have no assurance of
United Methodist? Was it United Methodist?
Yep.
Yeah, that's why. United Methodist is basically a cult. It's cultic, let's just say. It's just apostate. United Methodist, UMC. Yeah, bad news. Okay, buddy?
All right, thank you. God bless.
All right, man.
Keep it a great work, Matt Slick.
I'm trying to, bro. God bless, thanks. All right, let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson from the hot Bakersfield City. So, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, yes, it is hot. It is sizzling out here.
Let me guess how hot it is. Let me guess. It's 111 right now. Is that, I'm guessing.
I'm not sure, but I'm inside.
You're inside? I'm going to go check. Yeah, let's see.
I'm inside the house, but yeah, it's been hot the last couple of days, and it will be hot like that for a while. But yeah, my question is, let me kind of elaborate. A couple of weeks ago, a brother in Christ called me. We were talking, and he asked me, "Was Jesus afraid to die?" And
it's only 97 there. Okay. Was he afraid to die? Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. Was he afraid to die? Was it
probably? Correct me.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, and correct me if I was wrong, because I gave him scripture. I was thinking, waiting for my turn. I gave him Hebrews 4 verse 15, so that was the first to temptation. Oh, right now, mm-hmm. It came to my mind, because it said he did not sin, because I said, if Jesus was afraid, well, then that would have mean he wouldn't trust in the Father.
No, you can be afraid and still trust someone. You know, like say you're going to go through a surgery, and the doctor's excellent, the nurses are excellent, the hospital's excellent, and you trust them, and you're voluntarily walking in for a surgery, and you're afraid at the same time. They're certainly compatible. You know, I've had to have things done and been afraid, gone in, and got it taken care of. It's just the nature of being human. I don't see any reason why Jesus would not have been afraid. Well, I could make up a reason or something. I could probably connect a few dots. But I think, normally speaking, yeah, he didn't want to go through the crucifixion. It's painful. It was horrible. Yeah. And there was a bit of fear and anticipation there.
Yeah, because right there, I think it's verse 42 in chapter 22 of Luke, where it says, if any way this cup may pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that that verse alone, we see his human and his divine nature at one time.
That's how it is with the personhood of Christ and who he is. So, you know, in the garden, he did not want to have to go through what he's going to go through. He didn't want to do it because it's painful. It's terrible. You know, it's horrible.
And that word, real quick, I think it's in verse 44, where it says, he bled blood of agony, out of agony, in the New American Standard.
It says, what verse is that? Luke 22,
Chapter 22 of Luke, verse 44, I believe.
And being in agony, he was praying fervently. And the word is, oh, look at that, agonia. So, he was in agony. I didn't know that. Agonia is the word for agony. Let's see, it's used to refer to trembling excitement and anxiety produced by fear or tension before a wrestling match or a fight. In the New Testament, it is used denoting not the fear which draws back and flees, but the fear which trembles in the face of the issue, yet continues on in the end, to the end. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
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 Well, that answers that question. Thank you very much, Matt.
All right, buddy. All right, man. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Nelson from Bakersfield. Let's get to Gabriel from Maryland. Hey, Gabriel, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question is about Psalm 138, verse 2.
Okay.
And it's the very end of it that has me stumped. It's got several different translations which kind of conflict with each other.
Okay. Well, so Psalm 138, verse 2, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. Okay. And
right, so the question is, what exactly is being magnified above the other thing? So I'm pretty certain that "and give thanks to your name" is a reference to Jesus, Jesus being the name, Hashem.
Not necessarily.
But I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. Just to insert things automatically, you've got to look at the context, because it's possible, but you see, for example, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow. There's a break. Hold on. We'll be right back after the break, and we'll tackle this again, okay? And we'll look into it. All right, buddy? All right.
Hello.
Hey, oh, man. I hung up on him. And, hey, call back, okay? My bad, buddy. My bad. We'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to the show. My apologies for the guy. I was hoping he'd call back during the break. I hung up on him. Instead of hitting hold, I hit, hang up. So, it happens every now and then. I didn't do it on purpose, but hopefully he'll call back. We can get to him. Alright, let's get on the phones then with Leon from Utah. Leon, welcome. You are on the air, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Okay, my question was, what did the Lord...
Hello? Okay, that's an interesting problem. So I don't know what's going on. So let's give it another 5-10 seconds or so, and let's try this. Get him back on here and see if it's cleared up. Okay, Leon, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, we had a little bit of a noise problem there. All right, what do you got, man?
Okay, so what does the Lord mean by Hosea 4 and 6? Like, paraphrasing, my people shall perish, will perish from lack of knowledge?
Okay, but I don't understand the question. Okay.
My question is, what does he mean by people with, like, lack of perish from lack of knowledge?
It's just like it's a proverbial statement. When you're ignorant, you don't have proper knowledge of things, you can be destroyed. Like, if you don't know, for example, on a very base level, you don't know that a glass contains water and you drink it, contains poison and you drink it, your lack of knowledge can destroy you there. But, that's just a simple way. But as far as, lack of knowledge in the true things of God, for example, and what God requires of us, can lead to destruction by not knowing what He wants. And what He wants is for us to come to Christ and trust in Christ. So it's stuff like that.
Well, literally, like, destroy our soul, or just things in general, like if you were ignorant or something, and you didn't take heed to it, you got hurt. What do you mean by
it? Just depends. It depends. It's a wide variety of things. I wouldn't say that it means only one little thing. It certainly means eternal damnation. It could mean physical health. It could mean financial ruin. But in the context, it's talking about the priesthood, I believe. Let's see. You'll find fault, let no one offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. So you'll stumble by day, and the prophet will also stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priest. So, it's an interesting statement. Lack of knowledge of what God requires. And apparently, in the context, it looks like their lack of knowledge was willful, on purpose. And people can remain on purpose. They can deny the truth of God's Word. They say, no, I don't want to read the Word. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm going to remain ignorant. Okay. And the problem's going to, be big for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Very important that, obviously, we read and study the Word of God.
Be ignorant. Absolutely. It's important we study and read that Word. And Christians need to study and read it. Absolutely, they do. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, hey, thank you very much. You have a blessed weekend, okay?
You too, man. God bless. Thanks. All right, let's get to, let's see, I guess that's Ben from Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Ben, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem, man. What do you got?
My question is in regard to the Church of Christ and baptismal regeneration. Mm-hmm. My family and I have recently attended a church. I've started attending a church for 5 or 6 months now. They seemed legit, a very small church, but I later found out that they were previously a Church of Christ and they had changed their name. So I confronted the pastor privately, him and I, and kind of had a discussion on it. And he seemed a little hesitant, but he more or less landed on a saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. It at least made me feel that way until I attended a Bible study. There was about 10 or 12 of us, and we, in the midst of a discussion, came to, I believe it was Acts 2:38, and there was two guys particularly who were really heavy on baptismal regeneration as a necessity for salvation. And I, thanks to your ministry and some others through you that I've been able to listen to, I really camped out on If I'm remembering right, it was Romans 5:1. And they really come get around it. I guess the main point of this is my wife and I have been struggling to find a good biblical church, but with good fellowship that doesn't want numbers of congregants.
Okay.
And the pastor seems to kind of land both ways on this topic. Like, yes, you are saved by grace through faith, but he's also favoring the baptismals. I mean, he has them giving devotionals.
Here's what you're going to do. You ask him a very pointed question. Is it the case that baptism, or excuse me, is, just do it this way, is baptism necessary for salvation? Period. Okay. To say, is it or is it not necessary for salvation? He needs to be able to give a direct answer, yes or no. Now, of course, baptism is not necessary for salvation, and the Church of Christ is basically a cult. So he needs to be very clear on his response. Now, you said you asked him that, right?
Yes, sir, I did. I asked him numerous times, and the first couple of times he kind of gave along. I don't want to be rude about him. I care about him.
Okay, so what was his answer? Just tell us, let's get to it. What did he say? What's the answer? What did he say?
After I pressed him for quite a few times, he said it is not necessary.
Okay. Well, then, one of the things I want to ask him, I think you should ask him, is it okay for people in your Bible studies to teach that baptism is necessary for salvation?
Right, okay.
Ask him. Because if the case is, yes, it's okay, well, then he has a major problem. If he says,
that's
no, it's
right,
not okay.
That's what I'm,
yeah.
And that's okay. What he, because he considers them brothers. I guess the way I'm looking at it is if you are officially believing that type of doctrine, you cannot be a brother. Am I right or wrong on that?
That's correct. If you believe that you have to be baptized in water in order to be forgiven of your sins, then normally speaking, you're not a regenerate person. You are adding a requirement to salvation.
Okay.
It's very, very bad.
Have you ever, does that involve the Campbellite? Someone printed off a paper on the Campbellite restoration, or does that sound familiar?
Yeah, the Campbellites in the 1840s, 50s. Yeah, they're not that, but they have a common bond or a common ancestry from them. Okay, buddy, there's a break. We got to go, okay? So you make
Thanks,
sure.
Sir, appreciate
you're
it.
All right. Okay. God bless. Hey, folks, let's get to Noel after the break. I'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, let's see. Next longest wait in person is Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's just get in with Janet. Welcome, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you on speakerphone because it sounds better out here. But anyway, I have a comment and I have a question.
Sure.
So my comment is, actually, I'm going to change you over. Hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, you still there?
Yes.
I have an echo or something, so I don't know where that's coming from. Yeah. But the comment that I was going to make was in regards to your hate mail and your love mail. I think I would like to hear some love mail. But I say that with a caution, because I think a lot of times the love mail kind of sounds like people are worshiping you or something, and I don't want to hear that. But I would be interested in hearing how your program has changed people's lives. Like maybe somebody has converted to Christianity because of it, or a marriage has been restored, you know, something specific. I think that would be great to hear.
Well, we'd have to have people email me about that for that particular thing. That's fine. Like, if they want to do
that. Oh, okay. Well, that would be nice. Something like that, where they're actually saying that the word actually made a difference and changed them, I like hate mail for the sense that it kind of keeps you human. So I do like that part of it. But I like the love mail because I like to see what Christ is actually doing, too. You know?
Yeah. So I'm with you.
It affects the program.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah, I'm with you. Sometimes people do want to hear love mail, but it's just not as fun as the hate mail. Because it's just...
But see, I'm a woman. I like sweet stuff. It's kind of sweet.
Well, okay.
Kind of sweet. You know, you have both. So that's what I like about it. But anyway, I did want to say that, you know, hopefully sometime in the future you'll find some really good love mail, too, to put on there, too. Because I'm looking forward to hearing that.
I could. It sounds a little narcissistic when I do it, though. It's like, oh, here, how great Carmen is, how great a man is, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so I'm always a little bit reticent for that. But, you know, I mean, I could see why people might want to actually hear that kind of good stuff. But I like the hate mail. Yeah. I just get a big kick out of the hate mail. I do.
Well, you think if people call in and they talk about the scripture or something that you pulled out of the scriptures that made a difference, well, then they're praising the scripture, mm-hmm. they're praising God, and they're not praising that flick. You know?
Yes, there you go. And you don't want to praise a guy. You don't want to praise a guy named Slick. I mean, come on. You know? It just doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And then the question that I had was just kind of a fun question. It really is, how do you use technology to find biblical truth? Like, I know you're always typing and stuff while you're talking and doing stuff. And I don't think you use Google. Yes. I think you use something else.
I use all kinds of stuff. No, I have a lot of resources at my beck and call. I have a fantastic Bible program called Logos. I have in browsers, for example, I don't know what to call it. I think it's called the bookmarks bar. And I have hundreds of bookmarks, and I have them categorized in folders and subfolders. So I can go... And I can, while I'm talking, I can go to my Carm thing, and I click on my Carm bookmarks in my browser, which I use Firefox more. Dropbox, Early Church Fathers, Evolution. I have on homosexuality, Infusionsoft, Islam, New Apostolic Reformation, Roman Catholicism, Sacred Text. These are just, I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but I have these things. I can just click on them. Sacred Text on Mormons, on school. I have... You know, Science and Christianity, Biblical Science Institute, SDA stuff. So I just have, I'm very organized. And my outlines are very organized. And when I teach Bible study, what I do is I provide literally outlines from verse. I have all the verses in a chapter. And then I put them into a Word document. And then I use the outline feature. To go after each verse, and I indent, and I go in and draw commentary. I put Greek in there. I will show points, cross references, and so that people in my Bible study, for example, they have the exact same notes I do, and I just go through and expand. So I'd like to be very organized, it's the only way to do this. Okay.
So what do you do, what do you use when a caller calls in and you don't really have the information and you want to look up something real quick?
Just depends. So I use Firefox mostly because Firefox has the ability in the search bar, it has that little segment that you can activate so that when you type something in, it stays there. I hate, H-A-T-E, the stupid features of the web browsers. A function or what is a Trinity in the search bar? It goes to that URL and you got, and now that what you typed in is gone. Now you got to type it in again every single time you want to do research, and I loathe that. And so I use Firefox the most. So whatever I type in will stay there, and I can click on various things, and it works. So I'm very particular about research. You have to activate that little segment.
I was just curious because I'm like, I hear you typing and doing stuff, and I'm like, I think he's looking up something, but I wonder how he's doing it.
I type a lot is I have an Excel spreadsheet, and I keep records of the URL for Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and then the timestamps of what topics are spoken about, and I keep records of that while I'm on the air with you guys. So that I can put them up on the CARM website with links and provide so people can look. We're actually looking. I want to start getting people who can extract audio from the radio show and give it back to me so that I could put it up as, here's an answer to this, here's an answer to that.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'm always active.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always active. And
yeah.
Like when I, except for mowing the lawn because it's so loud, I can't listen to anything because it's just so loud. But often I'll be listening to some lectures or debates or whatever while I'm shopping or whatever. Today I didn't when I was shopping, but, you know, I just multitask a lot, you know? Okay.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Okay, well, I appreciate your response to that question.
Sure,
and,
no problem at all.
Yeah. And I hope you have a really good weekend. It's Friday. Happy Friday. So have a good weekend.
Well, you too. Hope you have a good weekend also. All right.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you later. Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye. All right. Let's get over to Noelle from Virginia. I guess we lost Noelle. And I asked her, because she's in the chat and I asked her, I said, so, hey, Noelle, I got a question. Yeah, what letter is not in the alphabet during Christmas? And she goes, what? I said, come on, Noelle, what is it? Eyes rolled on that one. Hey, let's see. We have a couple minutes till the break. We got nobody waiting. I think that means it's time for some hate mail. And so, because I love hate mail, we do hate mail on Fridays, for those of you who don't know. So let's see. Hate mail and wacko mail, actually. Let's see. This is more of the wacko category. The world is quickly discovering that the second coming of Christ is already here on Earth, but also that I already read that one last week. That's right. It's Atomic Body Man. I just love that one. I'm sorry, but that was good. I really, really enjoyed that. You know, his body's going to change. But here is a very good email. A very good hate mail, and I have to praise this one because it is succinct. It's written in all caps, which means they're yelling, and it is to the point. And it says, "You are a colossal idiot." Now, that's awesome. You see, you don't have to read through a whole bunch of stuff to get to the point. Because sometimes you go to the web and you read these articles, you know, like, what is the Trinity? And 5 hours later, they finally tell you what it is. You're like, come on, just tell me what it is. This person, obviously, knows how to get the thoughts across. I praise that person. You are a colossal idiot. See, that's how you do it. That is how you do it. All right, this is a wacko one. I am writing to you as I'm writing to all of religious denominations to inform you of my presence. Oh, man, this is awesome. On our earth, I am here under the name of your God as the last judgment. Wow, this is good. I was asked, oh, man, listen to this. I was asked by your God to save the child and its earth, and to bring those responsible for this evil to their judgment day, and of your historical treasonable alliance with the evil, that through the blood of God's children laid claim as their own God's earth. Your betrayal of thou faith for privilege and title, corrupt souls of God's truth, false prophets. See, these are not good sentences. How do you know what's being said? Oh, come on. Maybe after the break we'll get some better insults coming. Hey, folks, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Five open lines if you want to give me a call on this nice Friday. 877-207-2276. All right, since nobody's calling on Friday, I think that's because they want me to do hate mail. I'll do some hate mail. Let's see. Here's another one. Wow. You guys are really stupid. You obviously haven't read the Bible, or you have no ears to hear. Have you not read about the day all those believers fell? Also, Paul makes mention of people who left the faith. It's trash like you. Oh. Man, if you could only see my face. Man, I am so smiling. I'm just loving this. It's trash like you who the devil fooled, LOL. Why would the Bible mention about this sin to believers? What's he talking about? Okay, I thought that Christians read the Bible? It's a statement, but he puts a question mark. See, it should be, I thought that Christians read the Bible. It should, but no, it's, I thought Christians read the Bible? Because it's a question mark. So you got to do it that way. Why would God mention this in the Bible when the world doesn't read the Bible? You know? What is he talking about? I mean, it's just like, come on! You know? Anyway, he says, also, who does Christ criticize in Revelation? The churches, you idiots! That's awesome. Man, I love this stuff. Man, it's awesome. Okay. Wow, has the devil got you fooled? How sad. He gives his business information with a phone number. Oh, man. Oh. Woo. You know, if I was ever on trial for something, they could bring up my show. See how he laughs at this stuff? You can't trust him. He's got problems. I'd be going, yeah, that's right. That's for sure. I wouldn't. I'd make myself look pretty bad. Okay, let me get another one. Okay, bro, if you are not a Roman Catholic, you are in a cult, or at least you are a heretic, according to Rome. Well, that's nice, succinct, and to the point. Thank you. Let's see. How about this one? I have written a book that will put all religions right. It will end all social ills and put everything on the right path. This is the true knowledge and path of Jesus. It is not religion, a sales stunt, or am I seeking followers? This is fact-based, and no one can or will argue with his conclusions. No one can or will argue. No, they can't, but they also won't. Wow, this guy's good. I have attached a PDF, and I opened it during the break, and it's full of multicolored fonts and different sizes. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. It's like he wrote it after... Or it looks like a couple of monkeys wrote it, you know. But anyway, I have attached a PDF copy. You can join for a second below, and one will be sent. There is no book like this. It is free with no strings, and the world needs this knowledge. Wow, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing that one. All right, how about this one? Somebody wrote, your intelligence toward Mormonism is sadly lacking. There is a way to know the truth, but you are obviously afraid of taking it. Wow. Well, here we go then. I formally challenge the best Mormon apologist, defender of Mormonism, to a public debate. Let's do it. I'll go to Salt Lake City. You know, I'm only a few hours away. I'll drive over there. We'll have a public debate, you know. Let's do it. Yeah. Maybe Bill McKeever would help out, or Eric Johnson. Oh, man. Okay, how about this? Here's a good one. Your name is Slick? How very appropriate. Now, that's good. See, not that I haven't had my name. That's my real name, for those who don't know. Slick is my real name, you know, Matt Slick. And, you know, some people, you know, they make fun of my name, and they don't know that's your real name. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. Okay, here's another one. Anybody that believes God would punish and torture his creations like you do is whacked. Oh, by the way, you are judging. Not good. Wait a minute. So, he said, by the way, you are judging. That's not good. But yet, he says anyone who would believe that is whacked. And he's judging. So, you know, it's like I could just sit there and talk to the guy and go, do you realize you just did what you're accusing me of doing? Oh, well, now what do I do? So, okay. Let's see. One more. Oh, man. That's a long one. I guess, yeah, it's a long one. I like the short ones, though. So not the long ones are good. But, Reyes a Mormon. Let's see. These short ones. Oh, these are more lengthy. I was doing some thinking about the laws of energy and thought. Where does electricity in our body go when we die? Is it possible it goes into another human, animal, tree, or etc.? I know thermal goes and becomes heat, and chemical energy stay just like an animal, so I'm focusing on electric. Man, he doesn't understand the conservation of energy. It makes sense that I'm not sure it's scientifically possible. Yeah. His meniscus isn't bending. Hey, let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Matt, in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation.
Right.
That's the hard part.
Can you do
a little, commentary on that?
Yeah, he's just saying, and do not lead us into thick form. It's a way of speaking. Don't lead us into that, but deliver us from evil. That's all. He's saying, don't lead us there. Now, God leads our way. He directs our paths. Now, could he lead us indirectly into temptation? Well, yeah, he could, in the sense that I'm going to let this happen to you. You're walking, you're talking, and God doesn't put a roadblock up to your path. But when it says, do not lead us into temptation, it means that he's performing the action of the leading. And so, you know, God's not going to lead us into any temptation. He doesn't tempt anybody. It's just a phrase, a poetic kind of a phrase, that's all. And lead us not into temptation. It's just, that's all it is. No big deal.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Yep.
All right, Chuck. Okay, let's get to Elijah from Pennsylvania. Elijah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, man. Hanging in there. So what do you got, big guy?
Yeah, so my question is out of Revelation 3:16. A lot of people, especially my church, they like to teach that this is a proof text that you can lose your salvation, where Jesus said, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So what do you think is going on here?
He's talking to the Church of Laodicea. I've been there, incidentally. I love saying that. I've been to the locations, and I can remember walking in the ruins and among the buildings and stuff. It's really interesting. But to the angel of the Church of Laodicea write, this is to the angel, okay? The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds. So he's talking to the church. That your deeds are hot or cold. I wish that you would be hot or cold. And he's saying, look, make a decision. Make a choice to the church as a whole in its position of what's supposed to be doing. That's what he's talking about. Because Laodicea is like any place, like Ephesus and Pergamum. It's a location, and there's many people in that church. And it's a candlestick. There was the angel of that church. And so the warning is to the Laodiceans, look, you know, you're being lukewarm. Because there was it was hot and cold, you know, streams and things like that. And I've been to the area, and I'll tell you, there's some incredibly beautiful sights near there. There's some white salt. I don't know what it is, what the element is, but it's white. And they have these bluish pools of water, and they're just fantastic to look at. We've been there and seen them. And I remember we were talking about stuff, and there's the issue of the lukewarm water that came out. It wasn't good for anything. It needed hot water or cold water, but this lukewarm stuff just didn't serve any purpose. And so it's reflecting a geographical phenomenon in the area. Be hot or cold. He says, if you don't, I'll spit you out of the mouth. So that's what he's saying. And your friends who say that means you can lose your salvation, and I would say, so spitting out of your mouth means you lose your salvation? Is that what you're saying?
Because they believe that when he says, I will spit you out of my mouth, it means that Jesus is saying that he's going to spit you out of the body of Christ.
So his mouth is the body of Christ? It's, well, you know, it,
they interpret it as us, making up different parts of the body and
I got you. Yeah, spitting out means it's the body of Christ. Spitting you out of my mouth. And yet that means, so now the mouth, I ask him stuff like, I do this, people. So you're saying that when he says, put you out of my mouth, that means you lose your salvation. Yeah, can you show me where it means to lose your salvation? Where the phrase, I'll spit you out of my mouth? Does it mean, if he doesn't spit you out of his mouth, it means you're saved? Is this what you're saying? Because it's very symbolic. And you got to be careful when people go to Revelation and use very symbolic language to make a hardcore doctrinal case. And then, right. Then I like to do this. I like to say, so, let me ask you. Are you hot or cold? Which is it? Are you hot or cold? Now, what are they going to say? Well, I'm hot. Well, hot means good and cold means bad, or is it vice versa? Which one is the right one? So you're supposed to be hot or cold. So which one are you? Well, I don't know.
I think they would answer and say the hot means that you're saved because a lot of people, a lot of Christians like to say they're on fire, for the Lord. They'll use that. Yeah.
I know, but it's just that when you start asking people questions about the text that they assert means something, and you start saying, well, what does it mean this? It mean that? Well, what does it mean? And I can just say, well, are you hot or cold? Well, it doesn't say which one's the right one to be. It doesn't even say either one's the wrong one to be. So which are you? Well, I don't know. Well, then you're lukewarm. You're either hot or cold, right? So what are you? So tell me, which are you, hot? Whatever they say, I'm going to say, well, how do you know that's the right one? To me, it's called exegetical fun, because they don't know what they're doing. They're reading into the text something that's not there. They say, this means you lose your salvation. Where does it say that? And then you're going to cross-reference it with John 6:37-40, where Jesus says, the will of the Father is that he lose none. Are you saying that Jesus could lose people? What are you talking about? What does this mean here? Does it mean salvation? Or is it referring to the Laodicean church as a position that's called by God, and that the church as a whole needs to make a decision on what they're going to do? And if he doesn't, we're going to remove this candlestick from you. We're going to remove your authority, your position in the church. It doesn't mean it's individuals. It's to the church as a whole. It's a covenantal aspect. So, okay. Oh, there's a time, man. There's a break. All right, man. Hope that helped, Elijah. God bless, buddy, okay?
Yep,
all right. Hey, folks, hope you enjoyed the show. By his grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow, Monday, that is. And I hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you. I'll talk to you, I guess. Man, I'm messing up, aren't I? Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you on Monday. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.